curl up on the hard seat. "There'll be lots to see in Lancre," said the Arch-Chancellor. "The only piece of flat land they've got up there is in a museum." Ponder said nothing. "Used to spend whole summers up there," said Ridcully. He sighed. "You know, things could have been very different." Ridcully looked around. "If you're going to relate an intimate piece of personal history, you want to be sure it's going to be heard." The librarian looked out at the jolting scenery. He was sulking. This had a lot to do with a new bright blue collar around his neck, with the word Pongo on it. Someone was going to suffer for this. The bursar was trying to use his hat like a limpet uses its shell. "There was this girl." Ponder Stibbons, chosen by a cruel fate to be the only one listening, looked surprised. He was aware that technically even the Arch-Chancellor had been young once. After all, it was just a matter of time. Common sense suggested that wizards didn't flash into existence aged 70 and weighing 19 stone. But common sense needed reminding. He felt he ought to say something.
"Pretty, was she, sir?"
he said.
No, I can't say she was. Striking, that's the word. Tall, hair so blonde it was nearly white, and eyes like gimlets, I tell you."
Ponder tried to work this out.
"You don't mean that dwarf who runs the delicatessen in..."
he began.
"I mean, you always got the impression she could see right through you," said Ridcully,
slightly more sharply than he'd intended.
"And she could run..."
He lapsed into silence again, staring at the newsreels of memory.
"I would have married her, you know," he said.
Ponder said nothing. When you're a cork in someone else's stream of consciousness, all you can do is spin and bob in the eddies.
"What a summer," murmured Ridcully. "Very like this one, really. Crop circles were bursting like raindrops. And, well, I was having doubts, you know. Magic didn't seem to be enough. I was a bit lost. I'd have given it all up for her. Every blasted octogram and magic spell. Without a second thought. You know, when they say things like, 'She had a laugh like a mountain stream.'"
"I'm not personally familiar with it," said Ponder, "but I have read... poetry, that..."
"Load of cobbler's poetry," said Ridcully. "I've listened to mountain streams and they just go trickle, trickle, gurgle. And you get them things in them, you know, insect things with little... Anyway, doesn't sound like laughter at all, is my point. Poets always get it wrong. It's like she had lips like cherries, small, round, and got a stone in the middle. Huh!"
He shut his eyes. After a while, Ponder said,
"So, what happened, sir?"
"What?"
"The girl you were telling me about?"
"What girl?"
"This girl."
"Oh, that girl. Oh, she turned me down. Said there were things she wanted to do. Said there'd be time enough."
There was another pause.
"What happened then?"
Ponder prompted.
"Happened? What do you think happened? I went off and studied. Term started. Wrote her a lot of letters, but she never answered them. Probably never got 'em. They probably eat the mail up there. Next year I was studying all summer and never had time to go back. Never did go back. Exams, and so on. Expect she's dead now. Or some fat old granny with a dozen kids. Would have wed her like a shot. Like a shot."
Ridcully scratched his head.
"I just wish I could remember her name."
He stretched out with his feet on the bursar.
"It's funny that," he said. "Can't even remember her name. She could outrun a horse."
"Kneel and deliver."
The coach rattled to a halt. Ridcully opened an eye.
What's that?"
he said. Ponder jerked away from a reverie of lips like mountain streams and looked out of the window.
"I think," he said, "it's a very small highwayman."
The coachman peered down at the figure in the road. It was hard to see much from this angle because of the short body and the wide hat. It was like looking at a well-dressed mushroom with a feather in it.
"I do apologise for this,"
said the very small highwayman.
"I find myself a little short."
The coachman sighed and put down the